you in the name of the one true and living God, our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Sustainer. Amen. I suspect that many of us here this morning are still shining with that post-Christmas glow, reveling in the time with family, reveling in all the sweets and turkey that we consumed, reveling in all the gifts that we received. But today's gospel reminds us that that revelry doesn't last. It doesn't last very long. Indeed, many people place far too heavy expectations upon Christmas. The sense that that coming together, that sharing of love and fellowship and celebration will somehow make all things right and will last. This reflects our sometimes all too sentimental view of Christmas as an escape from the harsh, cold realities of life in this world. But the truth of the matter is that the powers of evil were actively at work when Christ was born, and they are still actively at work today. Today's gospel tells us of the holy innocents, all those children who were murdered as Herod sought out the king who he believed would be a challenge to his power and authority, the king that the wise men had told him was to be born. And yes, even today, even at Christmas time, there are countless untold stories of child abuse, torture, and even murder. Indeed, so common are they that most of them don't even make it into the news. Our gospel reading from Matthew would have us focus on the stories of such children, just as we focus on the Christ child. We need to remember that far too many parents in our world today are wailing and lamenting for their children. Children lost to forced labor, child labor projects, where the children are treated like slaves. Children lost to terrorist militias, which force young children to kill their own people or themselves be killed if they refuse. Children lost to the makers of pornography and child prostitution and human traffickers who kidnap and market these children to other countries and who will never see their parents again. Such are the harsh, cold realities of the world today. And in this sense, nothing much has changed. For those similar realities existed in the world into which Christ was born. In today's gospel, we learn that the birth of the Christ child, pretty romantic or idealistic as depicted in Christmas cards, had a darker side to it. We learn in a divine drama of three acts that life in this world can be very dangerous indeed, that life in this world can be cruel, that life in this world can be subject to evil plots, schemes, and acts orchestrated by power-hungry people who themselves are possessed by evil and rely on evil to protect their power and status. In the first act of this divine drama, God speaks to Joseph in a dream through an angel, a messenger of God, commanding him to get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and to remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. A very different message from that brought by the shepherds. A very different message than that brought by the wise men. No romantic or idealistic picture of Christmas here. Rather, we have the harsh, cold reality of a tyrant ruler, Herod, who is determined to shed innocent blood, and who's doing everything possible to kill the Christ child. According to the Jewish historian Josephus, Herod was an extremely cruel man who seems to have had no problem ruling by evil means. Herod ordered the execution of three of his own sons. Even Caesar in Rome is reported to have said it was safer to be Herod's pig than Herod's son. And at his burial, one member of every family was to be slain so that the whole nation might really mourn for him. Herod, however, did not manage to kill Jesus. Joseph, Mary, and Jesus fled to Egypt, where they lived as refugees until after it was safe to return back to the Promised Land, after Herod had died, in fulfillment of Hosea's prophecy that out of Egypt I have called my son. There are millions of refugees in our world today. Refugees fleeing war and violence. Refugees fleeing poverty, hunger. Refugees fleeing the devastating effects of climate change. It does us well to remember that Mary, Joseph, and the baby Jesus were also refugees, forced to flee their own land, forced to flee to save their own lives. And we can only imagine how difficult that decision to flee must have been for the Holy Family, leaving all that was known and familiar behind, and going into a land in which their people had a history of oppression and slavery, and how they must have feared the reception they would receive. Were they fleeing for their lives only once again to enter into a state of oppression, of slavery, of rejection? How would they adjust? How would they cope? And of course, millions of people today have those same fears, those same questions. As the second act of our divine drama unfolds, we are told that Herod was infuriated when he learned that he had been tricked by the wise men. So he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under. According to Matthew, this fulfilled the nightmare tragic prophecy of Jeremiah, which warned, "A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more." And just how many Rachels are there in our world today, wailing in lamentation, refusing to be consoled because their children have been torn from them? sold into slavery, into the sex trade, recruited forcefully into terrorist militias. There are too many mothers of children who are innocent and who have been brutally abused, tortured, and killed. Of course, as some of you may know, to lose a child is perhaps the most unbearable of all losses that one can experience. And how much more difficult it must be to know that one has lost a child through evil means. One thinks of the mothers of all those missing and murdered Indigenous women, children and women in this country, who have no idea what became of their daughters. And so we are challenged to ask, how, as followers of Jesus, do we have compassion on the Rachels of today? How do we share the love of Christ with them by walking with them in their wailing and lamentation? And what are we doing to create a world in which children are safe? A world in which mothers do not have to fear for their children. How can we be God's messengers to the Rachels of today? In the third act of the gospel's divine drama today, once again, Joseph has two more dreams, and God's messenger speaks to him, instructing him, first of all, that the tyrant Herod has died, and that now it's safe to return back to Israel. And then in the second dream, Joseph was warned not to settle in Judea, where Herod's son, Archelaus, now ruled, a son who, by all accounts, was as cruel as his father. Rather, the angel instructs Joseph to go to Nazareth in the district of Galilee and live with Mary and Jesus there. The third act of our drama, divine drama this morning, reminds us that the Herods of this world do not prevail. Sooner or later, they lose their power. Sooner or later, they die. But that does not mean that evil dies with them. It seems they always have successors, those who rise up to take their place and to rule with cruelty and fear. Today, as we remember the Christ child and the danger that he was in and his flight into Egypt as a refugee, we pause and we remember. We remember today all the children in this world who have been, who are right now being abused, tortured, murdered, or living somewhere as refugees. We remember, too, the parents of these children. But it is not enough to remember. Today's gospel calls us to action. Today's gospel calls us to be one with all refugees, with all those who flee injustice and persecution in our world. Today's gospel calls us to do all that we can to ensure that we live in a world in which children are safe, in which children are protected, in which children can actually live and enjoy a childhood. It's especially poignant at this time of year to hear this message after so many of us have been blessed by having time with our families, by having time with our children and our grandchildren. It is especially poignant that we give thanks for all that we have, but never to forget all that we are called to do. To do for those whose families have been broken and torn apart. As we revel in the company of our own children, to do all that we can to ensure that all the children of the world enjoy a childhood. One day, King Jesus will return and will destroy all evil powers and will institute a reign of perfect peace and love. In the meantime, it is our call, it is our challenge to do all that we can to stand up to the forces of evil in this world, and to bring what peace and love we can into it, especially for those children whose childhood is being taken away from them by the evil powers that persist. This day, may we go forth committed to the children. May it be so. Amen.